Welcome to the Rider Nation Podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to the Rider Nation Podcast. I am your host, Jenny Kate, and today I have on Harper Kincaid. This interview is super funny and super fun and just delightful, and I think you will all really enjoy it and get something out of it. Before we get to it though, I want to put a plug in for the new website for Rider Nation. It's theridernation.com. I'm really excited about it because my friend Dan put it together and it's really beautiful and it's really easy to maneuver and there's lots and lots of free stuff for you. So if you're looking for like social media posts, like if you're just so over trying to figure out what you're going to post, I gave a swipe file on there so you can get that. It's free. There's a list of email subject lines in case you're having a hard time kind of dealing with your email list. There's also my Authorpreneur Playbook, which helps you think through your author brand and kind of the business side of being an author. It's my flagship freebie. Yes, of course, you have to give me your email. That's kind of the way the game's played these days. But in exchange for that, I promise not to send you crappy emails that you don't need. My best email is the one that comes out the first Wednesday of the month. It's called the Monthly Report, and it includes lots of publishing and industry information, which I think is really good for all of us to kind of stay on top of the industry. And I know you don't have time to do all that kind of research, and I really enjoy it. So I'm really happy to put that together. It includes some podcasts you might want to listen to, or maybe a couple blog posts or news articles. It also includes industry statistics, which I think is really important. So you can kind of keep track of where the industry is and what the trends are and what they look like. So be on the lookout for that too. Real quick, I updated social media for authors back this summer. So that has a new version on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle Unlimited or you can buy a print version. I also released ads for authors back mid to late summer. And I'm really proud of this book, mainly because I never could find like a repository of all the places authors could go buy ads to promote either their brands or their books. And that's what I did with this book. So you won't want to use all of this, but you will at least have an idea of where you want to kind of spend your money. There's also a section on what makes a good ad. So I think that's really helpful. As always, feel free absolutely to email me or catch me on social and ask questions if you've got them. Feel free to do that. It's free on Kindle Unlimited. It's like 10 bucks if you want to get it printed. So definitely check that out. Okay, so Harper Kincaid, she grew up in South Florida. She grew up Jewish. And then she found the Anglican Church. So she calls herself Jewish with Jesus. And that only matters because we kind of hit on it a little bit later in the podcast. And I didn't want it to come out of the blue. She's a social worker by trade. She was a romance writer for quite some time and published with Entangled and a couple other publishing houses. And now she writes cozy mysteries. So the first one is called To Kill a Mockingbird. And I've read it. It's so funny. And so I'm really looking forward to the second one, which is called A Midsummer Night's Scheme. And that is not out, I think, until spring. Either way, they're really cute and they're really funny. And if you hang in till the end of the podcast, she has a surprise for you. So make sure to stick around and check that out. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Harper. Let me fix my hair.
Yeah, you look good. You look so good.
Girl, let me tell you, I need to cut my hair because I'm moving to Alabama, right? And my husband's like, no, please, no. He's whining. I'm like, I hate putting my hair up.
Well, summer's coming. Summer in Alabama is no joke. And I don't blame you. I got to tell you, it is cute as a button.
Well,
I can't blame him.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. But if I were not going to be in a uniform for the next year, I would totally leave it. But I am. Although I have to find somebody who's open.
Yes. That's a whole other situation.
That is a whole other situation, and I may just be stuck with it, so whatever.
Yeah. If people say, what's going on with your hair, I'm going to be like, it's good sex hair. That's all I'm going to say, which is not. But, that's what I'm just going to be like. It's just that's because I'm just, laying around all day in the boudoir, which is so not happening. But anyway.
Let's talk about your book. So you've got a new book. What's it called?
To Kill a Mockingbird, which I I got to be honest, I love my title. And I do, because I was like,
I love it.
You know what? It's one of the, it's funny because my publisher and I have just come up with the next name for the next book. And that took like weeks. This one was like, instant.
Are you going to tell us what the next one's called?
You, I will tell, because this is, isn't it nice to get a, so it's A Midsummer Night's Scheme.
Oh, that's so cute. I love play on words like that. I love it.
That's the whole great thing with cozy mysteries. We love a good pun. We love a little play on words. We don't you know, it's tongue in cheek. And yet, I have just adored writing this cozy mystery. The mean girl in town gets murdered. And the Quinn Kane is the heroine who has, born and raised in Vienna, Virginia, where I live now, by the way. Mm-hmm. She went away, like she graduated college and for like teaching English overseas so she could just experience the world.
Yeah, fun.
She did that for 3 years and then she comes back and has got to like build her life back in her hometown as an adult. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different experience. So I start her off at 25 because frankly, I'm hoping that the series goes on and we get to see her in her 30s and 40s, you know, but
yeah, okay.
I have her, it's like post-college, post a few job experiences. She's back home. She's trying to figure out like what she's doing. Like, so she's a bookbinder mm-hmm. and it was a hobby that sort of actually grew into a job. And her parents own a bookstore. Isn't that convenient? But, she's got some things going on for her. You know, she's got some things in her corner. You know, she's totally madly in love with her brother's best friend, who's the lead detective. And he can't, you know, he looks at her as cute little Quinn. And that develops. And the mean girl, it was a revenge fantasy. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Who had to deal with mean girls? You know, we all did. And who was some... And who was a mean girl once in a blue moon?
We all were also, right?
I was. I wrote an article about that for Medium. Like, I know you are, but what am I? Confessions from a childhood bully. It was like the one summer, the one time I was a bully and it was mm-hmm. terrible. And I ended up like meeting the girl like 30 years later.
Oh,
and she
no.
didn't recognize me, but I recognized her. And I was like, okay, so do I tell her? Because we're getting along. And I did. And I apologized. And I re-traumatized her all over again, you know, which I was because I wanted her to hear, I'm sorry. I wanted her to hear, like, oh, I was...
And she's like, girl, I got over that. I don't need to relive it. But they...
Oh, no. And then she went on, like, why did you do that? Why did you do that? I'm like, because I was, like, eight or nine.
I was a teenager.
Yeah. I wasn't even that. I was, like, 10 years old at sleepaway camp. I have no idea. I was early mean, but I never did it after that. But anyway, so the point being, so the mean girl in town gets murdered and everyone thinks it's Quinn because I guess, you know, they had dated the same person.
Yesterday.
And so it was like one of those things. And she has her sidekick, her German Shepherd, Ruff Barker Ginsburg.
No, that's so great. Ruff Barker Ginsburg.
She's a Southern feminist. So there's all these things that I put in the book. Mm-hmm. Like her mom likes to wear... the little brooch pins like Madeleine Albright.
Oh, yeah. Wear. I love those.
Mm-hmm. You know, come on. That was a lot of fun. So,
I'm from Alabama. I have tons of them.
That is what's bequeathed to you, my dear.
Yes, I have my grandmother's. I have my mom's.
So the mother starts wearing them like the really fancy ones, but then Quinn wears all the more funky enamel ones, like the ones with the funny mm-hmm. saying. So she wears a pin to match her mood and she still listens to mixtapes. Like it's something that her brother got her into. And so... it was a way for me to use a lot of my Gen X stuff, mm-hmm. but through a millennial perspective.
Yeah, nice.
So it was fun. And so she's got her RBG is her dog and her best friend slash cousin who used to be kind of, you know, a bad girl. And I mean that in the best possible way, decided to become a nun. So like, she's
okay.
like,
going, yeah, that's a great twist.
Yeah. And she used to hotwire cars and break into places. And
of course she did.
Of course. Cause you know, she's fun and she's mm-hmm. just, sharp as a whip, and you know, she found some comfort in God, which is awesome. It's an Anglican nunnery, which actually doesn't exist here in Vienna, but I have a really nice Anglican church that I've come to, so I got mm-hmm. to learn a lot about it. And so it's Sister Daria. She named herself after an MTV, you know, character. Remember Daria from MTV cartoon stuff? Do you remember that? Are you too young?
I don't know that I do remember that. I remember Road Rules and Real House or whatever house.
Yeah, yeah. Real World. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So that was probably a little bit before.
Okay.
And so, you know, they're both characters and they're both, you know, they're best friends. And there's lots of, so it's, yes, they're trying to find the murder. But then Quinn is also trying to figure out why her cousin's really wanting to become a nun. Like she just didn't think it fits. And, you know, she's trying to figure out her relationship with, you know, Aiden, the big brother's best friend. She's trying to figure out her place as an adult.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a lot of that. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but like that whole post-college time, although maybe, were you already in the military at that point?
No, actually I went back to my old high school and taught Spanish and it was hard. I did. Cause you know, my old teachers were there and they're like, oh, it's little Jenny. It was not a good experience.
Mm-mm. Well, that's exactly what a lot of Quinn runs into.
Okay.
And people are still thinking about her as a kid. And she's like, I'm 25. I'm a young woman now. And I want to be taken seriously.
Good luck.
Good luck. But, you know, so that's what she's trying to do. And she just wants to find the murderer because she also feels like this happened in my town. And yeah. There hasn't been a murder in 30 years, which is actually accurate. Except for up until 2 years ago, there hadn't been a murder in Vienna for 30 years.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, of course, cool. Now because I'm writing a series here, there's going to be a lot of murder.
Okay. So that girl, so this is the series will run with her.
Yeah.
What is her name?
Quinn Kane.
Quinn Kane with the dog RGB.
RBD, yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay, got it.
It's all good.
And now you've got the second one you're done with.
The second one I am not done with. I'm in the process of doing it. But that one is A Midsummer Night's Scheme that'll come out sometime next year. I just asked for an extension, so, you know, but...
Well, are you plotting more?
Okay. I am, but, you know, it's gonna... We're gonna get to see her grow up. Mm-hmm. We get to see some of the twists and turns in her relationships. Yep. You know, Sister Daria won't be Sister Daria forever. Yeah. You know, there's going to be some changes there. You know, you're going to be invested. You know, it's funny because I had a few people like in reviews who were like, is Vienna, Virginia really that quirky? And I'm like, yeah, we are. Like,
a little bit.
Under the Eddie Bauer and the L.L. Bean shoes, trust me, you know, the duck shoes, there are some really quirky people. And I love that about this place. Yeah. People here are smart, you know, very educated. They work for the government. They're, you know, it's part of D.C., and so that's reflected. I mean, maybe there's a couple of more weird people that I put in there, but they're all out here.
Nobody from here, like, usually nobody from here is from here. They're all from somewhere else. I mean,
that's true.
Ironically, the people who bought my house next door, the guy went to Tennessee Tech when I was at Tennessee Tech. Can you believe that? Yes. And his wife is from Ohio when Travis, my husband, was in Ohio at his first duty assignment. I mean,
well, now you are meant to be like coupled friends with them for the rest of your life.
You know, when we get out of quarantine, we yell at each other across the lawn right now. So hopefully we'll have wine, you know, later.
But there is something to that.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, I agree. We're not really in a homogenous area. This is it's a transient area and it's government. It is. And people from all over the place. And I really like that about living here because I just meet so many different people and I love it.
Because that's what the world is, right? And so I love that. And so she loves that too. I mean, she didn't think she was going to come back home, but she missed it. And she's like, I'm getting a small town experience, which Vienna is really not a small town, but the northwest part of the town that I live in feels like a small town because I don't really go to the other parts of Vienna very often. I'm going to stay in my place. So then it starts to feel very small town real fast. And I wanted to have those elements. I mean,
Delray is like that where we are. Delray is, it's its own little. So, you know, it's funny that you're saying all of this because I just lived it in March. I went home right to my hometown. When I left, I was leaving. Like, I did that 1 year teaching high school, and I hit the road to Nashville, and then I was in the military a year later.
Yeah.
So I was never coming back. And I rolled back into town 25 years later, and I did an interview on the radio show with a guy who was in my high school who used to, like, pull my hair on the playground, you know, and then I saw my girlfriend who she and I cheered together. Then I saw another guy, like we were in the seventh grade band together, and I'm like, oh, this place is actually not so bad.
Oh, that's good. I'll
be here again, except that I won't ever because.
But you've made peace with it.
I have, and I think that was the point.
Yeah.
It's not the same town it was because I'm not the same. And that was really interesting for me. So yeah. I'll be really excited to watch your character grow.
Me too.
And I wanted to tell you something else too. One of my favorite mystery writers is CJ Box out in Wyoming. And he writes about. It's not a park ranger, a game warden. And he started off and the game warden's like second or third assignment. So he's like 27, brand new married with like a baby. And he goes through his whole career. The man's written like 15 books and we see him grow and his children grow and his wife grow.
I love it.
All books. And I do. I love that. And
you've gone along on that journey with him. And that's,
yes, and I love that about it.
That's exactly what I'm hoping to do here. I want people to get to see Quinn grow old, you know,
I want to see her fall in love. I think that'll be fun.
Well, we do have you know what? I've got to tell you something. We're talking about, you know, writing romance. Now I used to do that. This romance that I wrote, because it's cozy and we don't do like, you know, dirty words and we don't do, it's very chaste, but I had more fun writing a chaste romance than I did when I used to write the explicit stuff. So
it's emotional, right? I mean, there's
emotional. It was that anticipatory thing. It was also her like not sure what signals are being, you know.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And so like, you know, he makes this journey. You start to see him like from looking at her as a little kid to start looking at her as a woman.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's a little torn about it too. I mean, he's not talking about it. We don't hear it, but we could see from his actions. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of reviews saying, God, Quinn was so smart with everything in her life except for that guy. And I'm like,
well, that's the way we are, right?
That was the way I was. You know, people are used to say, Harper, God, you're so smart, but how are you so stupid? And I'm like, welcome to me.
Come on. I mean, my husband asked me out 3 times before I realized he was actually asking me out, right? I mean, I didn't know.
That's really funny, though. Oh, I love that part of the story. He had to keep asking you out.
Yeah, and we figured it out. Here we are 11 years later. It's all good.
Yeah, I think it worked out. I think it's okay.
I did too.
Oh my gosh. No, but you know, it's true. It's funny. It's the stuff that when you're living through it, you're dying. You're like, oh, I want this to be over. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, I miss that, you know?
Yeah, because you do. And you got to try to recreate it in some way or another. And it's fun.
You know, here's the great thing I could say. And I know some people are having a really rough time with quarantine. And sometimes they want to just like kill their husbands in their sleep or their partners or whatever. And I get that. But I got to say, like, we're doing really well. Like we're like, and I said to my husband, good. I'm like, how are you doing? He goes, I'm living my best life. I've got my girls under one roof.
Aww.
I've got everything. You know, he's so happy, like having everyone around and like the house, thank goodness, is big enough. So that we do have our separate zones. And it's been kind of this, I'm going to miss him. It's going to be kind of this weird thing once
he goes. Oh, but that's so nice.
It is. I mean, he's just, you know, we've been married for almost 24 years. I mean, we've been together.
Congratulations. How about that?
I know. And we actually, I mean, I'm saying that we actually love each other now more than ever.
We love each other.
You know what? But I say that because like, you know, at the 8-10 year mark was rough and like that first year. And then, you know, that maybe then at like 12 and you're like, mm-hmm. Oh my God. And I'm like, just if you got to both want to do it. You got to both want to do the work.
Yep.
And as long as you've got someone who wants it as much as you do, you're going to be fine.
So it's funny, when we were at our 7-year mark, I'm like, all right, the 7-year itch happens to everybody. We're going to push through and this is going to be our year. And all year he's like, would you shut up? And I'm like, look, year 8, we did it.
I can see you doing that though. I feel for your husband though. I feel for him on so many levels.
Well, at 14, I'll do it again because I'm like, all right, it's the second 7-year itch.
He's crazy about you. And you
well, guys I'm crazy about him too. So it all works out.
I know. But look, well, that's the thing I love about the two of you. You're so different on paper.
Oh,
you
know? We're so different in person.
But it works.
It does. It's very strange. And we have not wanted to kill each other, like, at
See?
All. And we've been stuck in this house for almost 3 months. So,
but I feel for people who are kind of going through that. And
of course we do. Yes.
And I really do. Because if you haven't worked something out, you're working out now, whether you like to or not. So
I was real happy Kaden was here. So that's been nice. But we have had feelings.
How does she feel?
Well, she misses teenagers, right? I mean, she wants some teenage interaction other than just on the computer. But we've worked out a system. We've got a schedule. I'm really happy with it. And we've worked out a, hey, get out of my space.
Yeah.
We have that talk. But so far, I mean, it's great. But you know, my family's very transient too. So I'm moving in July. She goes to school in August. So we know it's finite amount of time, right? I mean, we know it's ending.
We'll never have a time like this again, probably.
No, mm-mm.
I mean, unless there's another quarantine, which God help us.
I anticipate that happening again in January. So we might be stuck right back here, but we know it ends, right? And we know we have to go back to what we were doing. So I think that helps us. You know,
I agree with you. I agree with you. So we're going to see Quinn sort of figuring it out with her different relationships and getting to know people in a different way. And I really enjoyed writing that. I, of course, enjoyed writing. I loved how I killed the mean girl. It was in a very unusual way.
I want to read it. Don't tell me.
No, I'm not going to tell. All right. But I'm going to say, like, it was a lot of fun figuring it out. And, like, of course, my search history is, like, how to poison, how to murder. How to set a moose trap, you know, like things like that. And I'm just like, God, I am. And like, David, just so you know, because
I have a dossier a mile long for stuff, same kind of stuff. I have no doubt.
I know. It's very funny. But I always think like, you know, because he's got top secret clearance or whatever it is, you know, super secret, whatever it's called. It's a nice level. And I'm like, I might just kill your level. He says, if you were going to kill it, you would have already killed it.
Yeah, it would have happened already. I think you're good.
So that was fun. And I do have some real people in the stories. I have a group of friends here. We call each other the Clink and Drink Group. That's actually a name that someone else in the group, his daughter came up with, because we would meet every Friday and booze it up a little bit. So I have them in the book, and that Quinn comes to them because they know everything going on in town. Like, they're not gossipy per se. They just sort of know.
Oh, I get it. We have what I call the man circle. You know, in my little town in Tennessee, every time we go to the coffee shop in the morning, the Sunrise Cafe, they're in the corner. There's about a dozen of them.
Yep.
And they're talking about the news and the weather and everything Absolutely. Else. And they know everything. And
they really do. Mm-hmm. They know you. They know your business before someone else knows.
Sure, they do. Yeah, I mean, my town has 10,000 people in it. Yes, they all know.
That's a town. See, that's a real town. That is a town. I don't. I think we have like 60,000 in Vienna total, mm-hmm. but the northwest section I think has only about like 15. So yeah. that's what makes it.
That's
feel
town.
Like.
I mean, that's town.
Oh, that is town.
Yeah, that I would call that town. Mm-hmm. So in Cookeville, it's 13,000 people. Tech has 10,000 people.
Oh, and really?
Well, to be fair, the larger area has 100,000 people in kind of the middle Tennessee area.
Wait, are we talking about Tennessee Tech?
Yeah, that's Cookeville. Yeah, it's in Cookeville. It has its own population of 10,000. So it's not a tiny college. It's
no, not at all.
It's a full-size school. But the town itself has another 13. So it's still, 25,000 people in this little town. And that, yes, if you don't know somebody, you know somebody who knows somebody.
Yeah, that's how it
I've
goes.
Already got a bunch of friends who are going to be checking up on her and all that kind of stuff. So,
you know what, though? I will say this. I grew up in Miami, Fort Lauderdale area, and we used to call it Jewish geography. And that's not small town at all. That's a huge population. Yeah. But because it was within a smaller, socio-religious cultural community,
sure. It
did feel more like that. It was always within 2 or 3 degrees of separation that you knew everybody.
And that's the same way in Cookeville. So I think she's really going to like that because it'll remind her of being on a military base. If you don't know everybody, then somebody you know somebody.
Does she know what she wants to major in or not yet?
Art education. That's what she's
heard.
So while on quarantine, the girl has been painting like there's no tomorrow, and she's sewing masks, and she's
creating
all this stuff. And so she was a business major, and then she finally changed to art education. And she goes, Mom, I have had a sigh of relief, and I'm very calm about this decision.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, that means it's a good one.
It is a good one. I do art on the side. That's actually, I do drawing and I do some collage work. I used to teach mosaics actually. And my mom's an artist. So like, I got to tell you, a lot of artists that I know go into art education. And it actually ends up being just like I was talking about to you at some point, like I do social work and I do this. To me, it's like this perfect balance between the two.
Yep.
She's probably going to feel like that's a real perfect balance for her. I'm actually excited.
No, I am too. I think she's going to do very, very well. I think she's very excited about it. And as
I'm excited for her. I would love to see her work sometime.
Well, I'll be happy to show it to you.
Yeah, I mean it. I really do. I buy art. I really believe in that stuff. And especially when you get someone early in their career and you can give them that encouragement. I mean, it's the same thing with the... Well, writing is an art in itself, even when, especially when, frankly, when it's genre. Yep. I think that to make something that people know, like there's a million cozy mysteries out there that have a young heroine who's in love with the lead detective. That's a very common trope. Yep. But how do you do it differently? And so I was happy with how I did it. It was a different spin on it so that it was something familiar that readers will expect. You've got the books and you've got gardening and you've got the dog and you've got these parts of cozy. Yeah, but then she's a Southern feminist, of course.
That's only an Asheville girl.
I know, right, exactly. So, and she's a Vienna girl. Like, she's got the best of both the North and the South. She kind of grew up that way, and that's what I think of as this town.
Listen, tell me your best writing advice for a new and aspiring author.
Resilience and grit and being open to constructive feedback. And don't give up, right? Even if you have a job and kids and everything else, even if you only write a couple of lines a day, and it doesn't have to be every day, but 5 days a week, you should be writing. And again, it doesn't have to be a lot, but do it.
That's good
because you know what? There are times where you're not going to feel like it.
Yeah.
But you have to take yourself seriously before anyone else does. And I will tell you, I had plenty of people who said to me, when I was going into romance and then when I was going from romance to cozy, I have had people all along say, well, that's really hard. And that's not going to happen. And I would be like, okay, thank you. And I just kept doing it. I didn't think about it. I just did it. But as I said to you before, I didn't do that to my mid-40s. Like, I needed to sort of percolate and cook my soul a little bit and grow up and have some life. But once I sort of got that, like, I have to do it, then just do it. You're going to fail. Who cares? Who cares? We all fail. I love a good Rocky or Rudy story of someone who's like the runt of the litter who somehow, and then maybe they don't always like, the first Rocky movie, he loses the battle. Like he loses. Mm-hmm. And it's still a fabulous movie because he just wanted to go the distance. You know what? Go the distance.
Well, I love Rudy where he's just constantly being told no and no.
Oh
and
my
no,
God. That little firecracker.
I love him. Rudy. I cried when he finally got the yes. I did.
It's a huge, I'm going to cry now just thinking about it. But, you know, and everyone just loved him because he was just this little, like, you know, the little engine that could, that wouldn't give up. Yep. And like, he was getting beaten. I mean, he was physically getting beaten up every day. You can write your stuff. Someone's not going to like it. Someone is going to like it. Find a good
trainer. That's important because it is true. I mean, if you just think about marketing, think about readers. The bottom line is not everybody's going to like your work. There's a reason why we have different genres. Like, I do not read science fiction and horror. I can't stand it. But that doesn't mean I don't like the authors. You know, I love some authors that write that stuff. But I'm not going to read it because it just doesn't excite me, you know. But
finding a good teacher is a really – it's actually a gift because finding a mentor, a teacher, someone who is going to be able – I mean, I've had a lot of people who've asked me, and I actually say no more often than yes, not because I'm anything special, just because it's a time thing. Mm-hmm. And I do want to, if I'm going to agree to read someone's stuff, I really do want to give it the honor that it deserves. Yeah. And I will tell you, I always find something positive. And you start with a few positives. And then you say, okay, this is where you got in your own way. This is where I got lost. This is wherever. But you're nurturing somebody and it's their dream. It's
I completely agree with that. Yeah. And if you're going to...
Yeah.
Critique, and I say this for reviews too. You can always find something that you like in a book.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that books and art come from inside a human being.
Yeah.
And there's something very emotional about that and very human about that. And to slam somebody, you know, to me is just, it's not only is it discourteous,
it's a futile exercise for both of you then.
It is, and it's not fair. I don't think that's fair at all. I'm all for some strong criticism. Sure, you can have criticism. I'm not saying don't criticize, but I'm saying you can find something nice to say also. Otherwise,
you're a Southern girl, and that's just me. And so I get that. Here's the thing. Conversely, though, I have seen a lot of people who are beginner writers who say, oh, well, you just don't get what I'm trying to do. And then they don't get an editor.
Well, that's different. That's a whole different ballgame.
But that's a lot out there that they won't take the feedback, and someone had given you their time and they're not, and you don't have to take their advice, but but then they don't even get an editor, and then they throw something out there and it looks unprofessional. This is a job. This is a,
I would tell you, for those people, that's for any profession. If you know, when you're young and in a profession, if you're not willing to learn from those who've been there, you will fall on your face and you'll have to learn on your own. But if you can get your ego out of it and understand that there's wisdom in listening to people who've been there before, then you can succeed and do better. But you know, criticism and advice is all taken with a grain of salt, and you need to be aware of what will get you where you need to go. So I agree with you.
People know, here's the thing. When you hear truth, you know it.
Yeah, sure.
If it stings a little, that means that it's probably true.
Yep.
And I'm not saying it's easy. No one wants to hear, this is where you know, but if you feel that little bit of a sting, then you're like, maybe there's something to that. Because I have sometimes gotten someone who's given me advice or criticism or whatever, and I'm just like, and then you have to be, you know, careful of where people's motives are. I have very few people that I beta read with because I, you know, to trust someone, that's a big trust exercise. Yeah. And the business can be competitive. And there's a lot of people who are very generous. Don't get me wrong. But to sit down with your work in the beginning stages is a very vulnerable thing to do. And so find people who are going to help you grow in a constructive way. And
I agree completely. Yep.
And be open to having to market your stuff no matter at what level it's
amen, sister. Right. You got to market. There's no way around it.
Yeah, you can't get around that and just get over that table fantasy of being taken out to lunch with martinis. And it's not going to happen.
Right, well, let's leave it there. And thank you so much. This has been fabulous. And I really appreciate it.
I've had the best time. Ask me back anytime. And you know what? Maybe do a giveaway. I'm happy to do an audio giveaway to one of your readers. If someone comments in your section, would that be fun?
All right. You guys want to comment? We will pick one and send you a new book. Awesome. Thank you. It's awesome to talk to you.
Awesome talking to you. Thank you.
This is Writer Nation.